across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning and welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, and brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. Live from Chippewa Falls, I'm Pat Kreitlow at 7:06, and nice to have you here on a Tuesday morning, July 2nd. Coming up this hour, Senator Tammy Baldwin plays a big role in landing a big contract, the potential for billions of dollars of economic investment and tens of thousands of jobs in a specialized high-tech sector related to personalized medicine and specialized manufacturing. More details coming up, along with all sorts of reaction to the decision yesterday by the conservative justices on the U.S. Supreme Court to grant former President Donald Trump far more power than anyone thought imaginable in a system not based on a monarchy. If you'd like to reach the show at any point, 855-75-CIVIC would be the number here. You can call it or you can text it. Good morning, Rob writes from Tigerton. It is rainy and 56 degrees. He says, I made lasagna for dinner this past Sunday, and I love lasagna, and it looks like it's a day off of lawn mowing today, to which I can only add to folks looking quizzically at their radio or podcast device right now, you probably shouldn't start listening right at 7, because if you're missing the history lesson in the segment before, you're missing all the reasons why we should be thinking about lasagna this month.
Brittany, because, are you aware of lasagna?
I love lasagna. But
No. Answer the question. Are you aware of lasagna?
No.
I think you are. It's lasagna aware. We don't know why they put awareness in there. It's not lasagna month. It's National Lasagna Awareness Month.
It really is. Seriously, they put that in there.
Yes. Yeah. Every year, tens of millions of people are affected by lasagna. Shirts
please
are ruined.
Be aware.
Mustaches have sauce on them.
What? Right? What
stomachs are satisfied.
What if it's a typo? It's supposed to be Beware of Lasagna Month. I know. Stranger things have happened. Let's see. The radar still shows that there are only a few spots in western Wisconsin that are not getting rained upon at this moment. That is it. One big system of rain and thunderstorms in part, Brittany, moving through the area. And I fear, just based on peeking ahead, this is somewhat of a harbinger for parts of our upcoming long holiday weekend.
Yes, it is. So this slow-moving system here is, of course, bringing that rain and is piling up down into the southern parts of the state, pretty much from the southwest corner through the Fox Valley. They've already picked up nearly a half an inch to three quarters of an inch. So as this slowly moves through the southwestern areas, it is going to kind of wind down this afternoon. We will get a dry break for all of us at some point. But then, right around 3 o'clock or so, more showers and storms do fire up. All of them that are going to be severe will stay down into Iowa and Missouri, so we don't have to worry about that. But the big concerns is the fact that more heavy rain is still possible. So some places, by the time this day is said and done, totaling both waves of rain, the morning one and the PM one, we could see anywhere from 1 to 2 inches, and even higher totals are possible into some spots, because these storms are just going to be sitting over the same area, training over the same spots. So we'll see some heavy rain, rising rivers, flooding concerns. Campgrounds are going to be soggy across the state, unfortunately, breeding grounds for those mosquitoes as well. So as you're preparing for this holiday weekend, keep that in mind. And we're not done with the rain yet either. We may stay dry tomorrow, but Thursday, those chances are creeping in. And where I'm looking at right now, who's got the highest chance to maybe not see some fireworks would be Northwest Wisconsin at this moment. So right now, a lot of the state does look to hold off until overnight, but those darn storms want to push right in.
And set aside the holiday for a moment. As we mentioned before, we'd normally be joined by Hans Breitenmoser at 7:30, but he texted at 4:30 that he was just getting to bed after helping a neighbor get their first crop of hay off the field before the next round of rain moved in.
That's
farm life. So we'll still talk to Bryce Lechterhand, but we'll talk to Hans in a couple of weeks. From Tony up north, he says, at this exact moment, moment, no rain in Ashland. Well, thanks, Tony, but that's not forecasting. That's now casting. And I mean, I can open a window, so thanks, Tony. But
that's when you like look your finger, stick it up. Which way is the wind blowing? Got it.
Yeah. Tony, what's it going to look like in Ashland on the 4th at the time of fireworks? Huh? Huh, yeah, Tony? Yeah. Huh?
Quit right, starting fights with our listeners.
We're just leaving it to the professionals. That's why we have Brittany. Thank goodness.
Thank you.
On a different weather note and on a serious weather note, as somebody who lived in one of the islands now in the path of Hurricane Beryl, this is a serious Cat 4 storm. Could even be a Cat 5 by the time it hits the Cayman Islands, which was took a direct hit from Hurricane Ivan in 2004 and wiped out just so much on the island. And I just wanted to, just wish all the best and tell our friends down in that part of the world we're thinking of them and hoping this thing spares them and takes a little wobble and goes away. But it is, I mean, I watched one of those Jolly Roger, tourist pirate ships, you know, that they take you out on. Mm-hmm. Watched one of them sink yesterday in Barbados very quickly. This storm is nothing to mess around with, and way earlier, Brittany, than most hurricanes season start.
Yes, that is the scary part. I mean, I think it was 15. So this is the earliest that Jamaica will ever get hit. Mm-hmm. And it's the first time that we've ever seen a Category 5 hurricane or a 4 hurricane this early, like before 4th of July.
Yeah. Usually, your first average hurricane date is August 11th, a major hurricane September 1st. But like they're noting, the water temperatures down there, they're running 2 months ahead of schedule as well for being warm.
I mean, we've been breaking global the temperatures of the water for 14 months in a row.
Yeah, it's almost like there's, something's changing out there.
It's like that picture perfect, hard eye, like everything, classic textbook. It's scary, very scary stuff.
And then once it steers past Jamaica and the Cayman Islands, you start to worry about, I guess, the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico is something to worry about.
Absolutely.
And then, who knows after that. So Beryl is something we'll definitely keep watching. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a good day.
Hold on. I'm not leaving you yet. Just one second. I will say if that high pressure system weakens, that Gulf Coast is at risk. So there's a high pressure sitting there. Keep an eye on that too.
Okay. Will do. Thanks, Brittany.
Yeah.
Looking at some of the headlines here, I want to tell you about some very good news for the state of Wisconsin. Very good news in terms of job creation and just the future of personalized medicine. This is all good stuff. But I have to first share something I've just seen in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And by now you're probably aware of how one of the employees up at Lincoln Hills, the home for troubled youth, was killed by a young man or a teenager who was being housed there. Now says from the Journal Sentinel, the youth charged in the fatal beating of a guard at Wisconsin's embattled prison for troubled youth was supposed to be housed in a different facility, but could not be moved because Republican lawmakers have withheld funding that would have facilitated the transfer. Republicans who control the legislature, writes Laura Schulte, have refused funding to expand the number of beds at another state facility for teen offenders with serious mental health needs, and they haven't voted to codify the rules governing how state officials handle teen inmates. The inaction has pushed off a plan written 6 years ago to close Lincoln Hills School for Boys that was supported by the same Republican lawmakers who are now holding up the execution of that plan. These are the same Republican legislators who have held up PFAS cleanup money for nearly a full year. They have allowed water to remain contaminated in Wisconsin, holding up that money. They're holding up $15 million for Chippewa Valley healthcare needs. They're holding up $50 million to improve literacy and reading programs in Wisconsin schools. And they have held up the funding that would have improved conditions at Lincoln Hills. And now somebody there is dead as a result. And all because of petty games that they continue to want to play with Governor Tony Evers, rather than doing their job. Let's turn to some good news now. And the news is very good, as shared by Senator Tammy Baldwin, and the United States Department of Commerce confirms that it is awarding the state of Wisconsin nearly $50 million to grow the state's personalized medicine and biohealth sector. It's going to advance research. It's going to create jobs. It's going to boost American competitiveness in a cutting-edge industry. This is all part of the CHIPS and Science Act, which a lot of folks know as being used to improve semiconductor manufacturing in the country. But it's also got all kinds of investment in high tech and science, ways that, again, will keep the state from being hampered by supply chain problems with foreign suppliers and things like that. There will be growth in all kinds of sectors because of the CHIPS and Science Act in things like AI, biomanufacturing, quantum computing, and in Wisconsin, their bid for a tech hub designation for biohealth has now been approved for this phase two grant, one of only 12 selected in the country out of around 200 initial applications. What it means is that Wisconsin's been able to show off, through efforts that were led by Senator Tammy Baldwin, the way that 15 different public and private partners in the state can work together to come up with a plan to boost lab space for research, increase collaboration, invest in workforce development, improve the access to capital to start and grow businesses, and further build out the personalized medicine sector, which is going to be such an important part of medicine in the future, as well as the economy in the future. That kind of personalized medicine that we discussed in our last hour, we heard from Missy Hughes at the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, is a way that essentially uses genomic sequencing to help improve how you treat a cancer tumor that is very individualized for the way your body would handle a particular course of treatment. That research, manufacturing, and more is going to be done in Wisconsin in a sector that's going to create another 30,000 jobs over the next 10 years and have an estimated $9 billion worth of economic impact in the state. And again, that was an effort led by Senator Tammy Baldwin and a consortium of private and public sector partners. And so much more to say about that over the coming days. When we come back, we'll have more reaction to the U.S. Supreme Court decision that grants a level of immunity unheard of in American presidents until Donald Trump and this Supreme Court came along. That's next. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
To president.
No more king.
He's gonna do what the people want.
No more king.
We're gonna run things our way.
No more king.
Nobody's gonna tell us what to do.
Rocking and a rolling, swishing and a splashing over the horizon. What can it be? Looks like it's going to be a free country.
Oh, those were the days when Schoolhouse Rock would tell us about not having kings anymore and that no man is above the law in America. And then came Watergate, where a Republican president had the honor of resigning, had the dignity to resign once it was discovered the things that he had done in office. But there are others at the time that saw that as some kind of a problem, and they wanted to make sure that you couldn't see Watergate again, because presidents should be able to do things that they want to do. As Richard Nixon said once upon a time, you know, when the president does it, it's not a crime. And we all laughed about that at the time. But we're not laughing now. Now that the Supreme Court has said that former presidents have broad immunity from prosecution, which is going to extend the delay in the criminal case against an American president attempting a coup, attempting to overthrow the results of an election, of attempting to use the Justice Department to pressure other government officials to cheat in an election. Now, some will say that there's still more work to be done on this, that this doesn't end the legal matter for Donald Trump, that there's still going to be hearings that are going to look at whether the things that Trump is accused of doing are official acts of the presidency, which the Supreme Court now says have an assumption of immunity to them, or if somehow they are unofficial acts. But by doing what the court did yesterday, by saying, well, you've got to err on the side of any official acts that a president does. He's going to have legal immunity from them, is going to make it tough, if not impossible, to ever hold a president accountable for illegal acts if they can somehow claim that this was all part of an official act. Some of the reaction includes Bradford Pearson from Philly Magazine saying, the Supreme Court announcing that presidents are basically now kings during July 4th week is quite a choice. From Asha Rangappa, former FBI special agent, the court has handed Trump, if he wins this November, carte blanche to be dictator on day one, the ability to use every lever of official power at his disposal for his personal ends without any recourse. This election is now a clear-cut decision between democracy and autocracy. From journalist Stephanie Mensimer. So just to recap, this Supreme Court this term has said the president is king, the administrative state is dead, and bribing public officials is okay. These justices, she writes, have created a powder keg where people cannot solve their problems through the government or hold anyone in charge accountable anymore. From journalist and author James Fallows, this feels a lot like December 12th, 2000, the day the ruling came down in Bush v. Gore. And a reminder, he says, John Roberts, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett were all on George W. Bush's Florida recount team back in 2000. And they are Supreme Court justices now. So where do we go from here? We've got science journalist Katie Spaulding writing, thinking about how it would be reported if the ex-president of a non-Western country was ruled immune from prosecution by a panel of justices he himself appointed. From Rick Wilson at the Lincoln Project, I'd like to thank the Supreme Court for granting Joe Biden godlike official powers. I think his first step should be to declare all Trump golf courses as protected federal wildlife preserves and seize them all by eminent domain. It's an official act, so it's cool, right? Then you've got former White House journalist Sam Youngman who writes, so Biden is told by the Supreme Court he can't forgive student loans, but he can order a drone strike on loan collectors? And then finally, Henry Rosenberg, who writes that in Georgia, Trump did not say to Raffensperger, the Secretary of State there, are you sure I don't have enough votes to win? He said, what I need you to do is find me 11,780 votes. That, he writes, is not part of his official duties. It is asking a public official to commit fraud for him. And that may very well be the case. But it's that much tougher now for any special prosecutor, for anybody, to bring a legal charge against a former president for that. It's where we were supposed to have a check and balance that our founding fathers set up in the United States Senate. The power to impeach and remove from office. And when the founding fathers set that up, we did not have a two-party system the way that we have today. You had George Washington warning against the formation of political parties, that it was better to basically have, you know, consortiums as need be, as issues came up. But once you have a strict party system, and it grows to the point, and the money in it grows to the point where you've got to protect your team at all costs, even if your guy is a goofball, even if your guy is a criminal, but you have to protect your team at all costs. It's how you got so many gutless wonders in the United States Senate that when faced with clear and convincing evidence of a crime, not once, but twice, these same senators said, nah, we got to protect our guy. Lacking that ability to impeach because of an impartial Senate preserving its separation of powers is what's giving us a presidency that is on the doorstep of unaccountable monarchy. And that does sound extreme, and that does sound alarmist. But we have seen what Donald Trump has done and what he is willing to do. We have seen what his supporters have talked about doing. And if these things are done under the guise of official acts, well then, if Donald Trump not just takes national security secrets and puts them in cardboard boxes at a bathroom in Mar-a-Lago, but actually shares them with American adversaries, but that's an official act, you're not going to find a prosecutor willing to take that case up because, based on yesterday's ruling, the U.S. Department of Justice can be tinkered with by a sitting president all they want. And you won't have a U.S. Senate holding that kind of activity to account either. So it's not hyperbolic. It is fraught with peril, the possibilities of what somebody like a Donald Trump could do in a second term. You know, we've made this jump from what Richard Nixon did and then being held accountable to it to where we are today. And because the Supreme Court isn't going to do anything about it, and because the current U.S. Senate isn't going to do anything about it, like it or not, it's all back on the voters who have to make a decision this November and should make it based on these very clear-eyed views of the facts rather than a performance at a debate or political commercials or anything else of that matter. When we come back, Bryce Luchterhand is going to join us, and we'll talk about helping some of the refugees from the war in Ukraine. That's next. You're up north.
Let your boys be country. Let them keep their dirt on his boots.
All right, this is normally the point where we bring in Hans Breitenmoser and a guest, but if you missed us talking about it earlier, well, with the rain coming in and everything, Hans was actually up until past 4 a.m. helping a neighbor get their crop of hay off before the rains came, which, you know, our guest, Bryce Luchterhand, is no stranger to. And so, yes, we told Hans absolutely to go get some sleep. Bryce and I can definitely take it from here. Bryce and I have known each other for some time here, going back to his time working with former Governor Jim Doyle as his director of his northern office. He has done so much for former Senator Herb Kohl, for Senator Tammy Baldwin, for former President Clinton, serving on the state director of the Farmers Home Administration and USDA Rural Development, and of course, has done plenty on his own with everything from cattle to bees to fruit trees to maple syrup. And Bryce, I don't have to ask, you know, how old you are, because whatever it is, you're going to look way too young for it, because I'm sure you're still staying active in many of these things. Bryce, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I am doing well. And fortunately, I got my hay in yesterday afternoon, so I didn't have to stay up till 4 a.m., but I could certainly understand the desire to get that stuff done.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, again, you can only do what you're given to work with, you know, weather-wise. And I'm just pulling up right now last week's USDA crop report, and it said for last week there were only 3.3 days suitable for field work because of wet fields. It's so weird that we were talking drought last year, and now topsoil moisture is less than 50% adequate and a little more than 50% surplus. First cutting of hay is 90% complete, second cutting at 22%, and the hay condition is pretty good. But again, like Hans told us a couple of weeks back, I mean, this and everything else, you are just at the mercy of the weather and when it wants to show up. And I mean, you know that going in, but that doesn't make it any easier.
No, you know, and Pat, it's kind of a good lead-in Hans and I were going to talk about agriculture in Ukraine. Here, we only have to worry about the weather. There, in about 20% of their farmland, prime farmland, they not only have to worry about the weather, they have to worry about landmines, sophisticated landmines that now go off with seismic activity. You don't have to step on them, you just have to step close to them. And they spray fragments for 30 yards in every direction. Combine that with the constant drone above, possible rocket attacks, drone attacks. It is a mess. They feel that they have lost 84,000 pieces of farm equipment in the Ukraine. So that now they can't even, they don't even have the machinery left. It's a disaster. So we're feel pretty confident, even when you can't get out on the field here, at least you're safe.
Yeah, you don't have that kind of a hazard that nobody there asked for. Nobody asked for their big neighbor and former conqueror to try to come in and conquer them again. So for those Ukrainians who have been looking to leave, we talked to you February of last year about a program called Welcome Connect that allows potential sponsors and Ukrainians to meet online and participate in the U.S. Immigration Department's Uniting for Ukraine program. At the time, you were starting this by sponsoring a family of four, a husband and wife, and two little boys. So we thought this is a good chance to connect with you and see how things are going with that family and with the program, and you know how people can learn more. So let's start at the top there. How are things with you and your guests?
Well, the family's names are Mikola and Alyssa, are the husband and wife. And Roman is a six-year-old boy, now just completed first grade. He was absolutely delighted and proud to come home and show us his certificate, showing that he's going to be in the second grade next year. Dimitro is a four-year-old cyclone, to be honest with you. And it's really, it's kind of challenging. He's everywhere all the time. And of course on the farm, that's kind of dangerous, but, he's getting the hang of it. So when he sees a machinery, he runs and sits on the porch. But, it's been a couple wrinkles in the process. They are here on what's called a humanitarian parole program with the United Ukraine program. Humanitarian parole is a two-year visa of sorts, but it does not, and it allows the people to come here. They may not leave the United States. They can travel anywhere they want to in the United States. They have a work permit, so they can get jobs. They're signed up with the Social Security, so that their Social Security deductions are taken into the account. But there is no pathway for citizenship as under a humanitarian parole. So we're aggressively looking for a way to get these folks an opportunity to become citizens of the United States. They would like very much to have that happen, but the red tape is in the way. So, and humanitarian parole is normally allowed for only 1 2-year period. Now, because of the Ukrainian war, it has now been extended for a second 2-year period. So these folks will now be allowed to stay until April of 25, I believe, 27. But after that, they would need to go back unless something else is done. And incidentally, your earlier piece was talking about past President Trump. He has already indicated that he would like to send everybody that's on the humanitarian parole program back to whatever country that they're coming from. Now we have learned that there's a program called the Temporary Protective Services. that can be renewed. That's another two-year program. And the our family ran into a piece of really good luck in that the U.S. government puts out program 50, where they allow 50,000 green card. It's a lottery. It's what it is. It's a lottery. So you have to put your name in. If your name gets pulled out as one of those 50,000 every year, you have an opportunity to apply for a green card. And that is, fortunately, McCullough's name got drawn. And so as of October, now they're going to be watching every month to see if their number comes up. If their number comes up, then they can submit their application. And hopefully, they'll be able to get a green card. If you get a green card, then you can apply for citizenship. It's kind of nerve-wracking, but it's exciting, and it's rewarding.
And it goes to show again that, look, immigrants, refugees, migrant laborers come in every flavor, every color, every style and shape. And so to have somebody like a Donald Trump painting them with such a broad brush as, you know, well, they're all, you know, criminals, are all vermin, they're all poisoning the blood, et cetera, et cetera. And we already know Donald Trump's stance when it comes to Vladimir Putin and the war in Ukraine, that when he talks about ending these kinds of, you know, humanitarian parole designations and things, you quite literally are advocating sending people back to almost certain death, whether it's to Central America or to a war zone in Ukraine or someplace else. And for a guy like him to say, well, you know, our views were full, you know, no, we're not. And we've got the labor shortage to prove it. You've got all these avenues to fix things, but now we all have to make a decision. Are we going to try to fix some of this red tape? Or are we just going to shut it down? And it's got to put you and that family and other people in a very tenuous and uncomfortable position between now and November.
Well, of course, the effort between now and November is to make sure that Trump doesn't get reelected. But, you know, it's interesting that the family pays attention, they don't want to become involved in the political scene at all. They want to, they're aggressively pursuing avenues of work. Alyssa has taken courses already to become a nurse, and she'll be a very good one if that finally comes to fruition. And McCullough continues to work as a maintenance guy. Here's a fellow with a master's degree and had been a regional director of an insurance company, is now working in maintenance in the pork factory. You know, it is amazing to see how these people work and the circumstances that they work under. But look at the talent that is in this country in the form of refugees. Just in this area, in Colby area, we have a Chinese family that runs a very profitable, nice little restaurant in Colby. Our farming program here would collapse tomorrow if all of the Mexican immigrants were sent back. And then you have a great example here of a Ukrainian family that is contributing to, first of all, to our social security system, which is going on the rocks, and they'll never get anything out of that, but to the economy as a whole. It's unfathomable to hear Trump talking the way he does.
Yeah, and will continue to, and that's where I think it's important to hear other voices, and I'm really glad to hear yours talking all about it. And again, for folks that want to learn more, the Welcome Connect program, you can learn more at welcome.us as a way to be a bridge to safety for people seeking refuge in the U.S. from all over the world. You can simply go there and learn more and potentially be a part of that. Bryce, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to put your Capitol staffer hat back on. We had the news story earlier this morning that tragic death of an employee at Lincoln Hills happened in part because Republicans in the legislature continue to block funding to help resolve problems at Lincoln Hills. You know that they're also blocking money for PFAS contamination, for Chippewa Valley hospitals, for reading and literacy programs. The Doyle administration also had to deal with a Republican majority-led legislature, and yet maybe hindsight isn't 2020. Maybe it's got rose-colored glasses. It wasn't an easy relationship, but I sure don't recall it being this bad to the point of actual human tragedy.
Well, you know, Robin Voss has been getting continuously more strident in the desire to run the government. He can't become governor because nobody would elect him, but he thinks he can do it as the champion in Madison. But, you know, fast forward to August, I think it's the 13th, is the primary day, or is the election day. There are two questions on the ballot that address this very same question of who is going to control money coming from the federal government. And those two amendments to our Constitution need to be defeated, because it would throw a monkey wrench into the entire process of emergency aid or aid coming to the state through the federal government.
It's something that we're going to hit a lot between now and then, and I'm really glad you brought it up as well, of what a sneak attack this would be and how it would hold up even more money designed to help and benefit the state of Wisconsin. Bryce Luchterhand, thank you so much for the update on Welcome Connect, and best of luck with your family and with everybody else there. Take care.
My pleasure. Thank you, Pat.
All right. Chad Holmes is coming up next. You're up north. Chad Holmes is here. Chad Holmes is back from his latest poker outing, and we're going to ask him all about that. I don't see him in a tuxedo. I don't see a briefcase full of dollar bills behind him, so I'm guessing it was fun, but maybe not life-changing this time around. But before we get to that, I want to come back to and where we started with some very good news for Wisconsin, as announced by Senator Tammy Baldwin, as well as Governor Tony Evers. And that is this biohealth tech hub designation that now is going to come with federal funds, $50 million to create jobs and partnerships and manufacturing in the personalized medicine sector. And I wanted to play one more cut from Senator Baldwin in describing what it's going to mean both to the Wisconsin economy and to Wisconsin's future as a healthcare leader. Let's give a listen.
This investment in the Badger State is projected to create more than 30,000 jobs and $9 billion of economic development in the first 10 years. These jobs will cross sectors ranging from working on manufacturing or foundry floors to working in high-tech labs, and the breakthroughs that we'll be able to pioneer in personalized medicine and biohealth have the potential to revolutionize healthcare as we know it, helping people get the care they need earlier and faster. I've always said that in Wisconsin, we make things, and we have more iconic items like beer, brats, motorcycles, and cheese, but we also make people's lives better. This investment will move the needle for how we approach and give healthcare, helping people lead healthier lives.
This is just something, Chad, where, again, for all the talk about whether a bill is going to pass and then, you know, we kind of forget about it once it's done. The CHIPS and Science Act, as I said earlier, people talk about the American Rescue Plan. They talk about the bipartisan infrastructure law. But this CHIPS and Science Act is going to pay tremendous dividends as an investment in science and an investment in national security. And it's nice to see Wisconsin's going to get a piece of the pie.
It is just fantastic as well to see. Excuse me.
Look what Vegas did to you. Holy cow.
I know. Going from 108 to 70, 108 to 70. I mean,
right.
But again, just to see, I've talked about this before. We got a real workhorse senator and got a show horse senator. And you got Tammy Baldwin, who really knows how to get things done. And unfortunately, you just listed off some significant pieces of legislation that have occurred in the last 4 years that have led to it's not an accident the United States has come out of COVID economically better than many of the other countries around the world. And unfortunately, it doesn't have the shininess that leads people to spend a lot more time talking about it than some of the other issues. And again, when I listen to Tammy Baldwin, who just knows what she's talking about, when I got home, I popped up home and I, you know, was watching some TV and I saw a new Eric Hovde spot. Got a bunch of three older white guys at the bar complaining about Tammy Baldwin and Joe Biden. And then old Eric comes up with his four beers. I agree with these guys. I mean, just silliness. But yeah, somebody actually does the job so very well.
But that I'm amazed that commercial's still running. And if only there were a way that Tammy Baldwin or somebody else could always be the commercial after that to say, those three regular guys at the bar, those are senior officers at his company. He couldn't even find three regular guys to have a beer with to grouse about the economy. But that's the kind of campaign Eric Hovde's running. But let's talk about the kind of trip that you were having as a person who, Greg, were you the one saying to me the whole notion of you're supposed to, when you're with your time off, you're supposed to relax. And you're not supposed to be over a handful of cards stressing out whether you're about to win a whole lot of money or not?
I may not have said that, but I believe that. When you go on vacation, you vacate, you kick up your feet, and you relax.
Yeah, not Chad. Chad basically walks into an air traffic control tower and says, hey, could I have a pair of headphones?
No. I do find it relaxing because, as you guys know, I mean, I especially Greg, and I got to tell you real fast, yesterday I returned to work, and my producer was off. And he had told me this before I left that he's going to be taken off Monday. So I had to be in the producer's room and run the show and do the show myself. And you talk about air traffic control. My plane never got off the runway. That is stressful. Playing cards, you get away from it. I mean, one thing about casino, you don't know what time it is. You don't know what day it is.
That's true.
You just keep playing and playing and playing. And I do find it relaxing and fun and getting away from it.
I got one little, just one quibble.
Yeah.
The stressor is, I'm losing money. That's the stressor.
Oh. Yeah.
I play tournaments. So you pay in, you either win. You know, 85% of the people that play these tournaments don't get anything back. You lose the money that you pay. 15% make money. I played two tournaments last week. I made money in one of them because there was 5,100 players and I finished 213th. So I was able to make some money on that tournament. The other tournament, I did not finish in the top 15. So in the end, I came up in my gambling pretty even. So, I mean, in the end, I do a lot of high school sports.
Yes.
I like to compete once in a while as opposed to just talk about it.
In high school sports?
No, just compete.
No, compete in a sport.
I know.
Sport.
I know. Thank you.
You can push on me, but I'm not going to back away. This is
Oh no, it's all out of admiration this is what you decide to do.
But I got to tell you, it was like incredibly hot because I had to walk outside a little bit to get to the monorail because I had to get the car. I had to go walk to a monorail, and I think going from 108 degrees and then going into the casinos at like 70, whatever it is, and then back outside, that is not good,
not healthy. Apparently, to hear you, yeah.
And I was fine until I got home. Actually, it was Sunday. Like,
No, my wife was the same way. We were in Orlando, and she was sick as a dog for like four days or 5 days or more. So, hopefully, it goes away soon, like these travel bugs do. But I do appreciate hearing about something that, again, the things that people find relaxing. For me, I mean, golf is one of those things. Some people find it so infuriating, and yet you say to them, why do you do it? Oh, well, it helps me relax. Are you sure? But
I think that's exactly a good comparison. You're exactly right there.
It clearly works for you, and that's the thing that matters. And so I'm sure Chad's talked about it a bit, but he'll have more to say throughout the course here, and follow all the day's news as well. Chad, thank you so much. Have a great day. Feel better soon.
Thank you, Pat.
Greg is part of the Matinee On Air extravaganza coming up 2 hours from now. Greg, we'll see you tomorrow morning as well. And you as well, thank you for being here. A reminder that Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us on social media. Sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Thanks for being here. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning, Up North.